Maybe you heard the voice of the Lord in that and you're considering, you're going to go. You're going to go and serve the Lord. Maybe in your office tomorrow morning or possibly around the world in the mission field. A few years ago, a young man named Richard Pratt came to faith in Christ, and the Lord grew him up and grew him up to the point that he was so compelled by the work of the Spirit that he became a professor in a seminary teaching Old Testament. And the Lord kept moving in Richard's heart in such a way that he began to get involved with the ministry, that he gave birth to this ministry, Third Millennium. And in my estimated opinion, Third Millennium produces some of the biggest bang for your buck in the spiritual world. And we're thrilled that the Lord birthed this ministry through Rich. Those are all very meaningful reasons why Rich is here this morning. But I think one of the reasons he's here is because he loves the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord has him by the heart. And he's leading him. And he's brought him here to be with us, so that we can hear God's word explained and applied to our lives, so that Christ would receive the glory. And so we have a privilege of having Dr. Richard Pratt with us this morning. And as you stand for the reading of God's word, let's welcome Rich.
Good morning, everyone. The scripture reading this morning is from Lamentations chapter 5. I know that's your favorite book in the Bible, right? Lamentations chapter 5. You'll hear it's a lament. It's not a happy passage. Hear now the word of our God, beginning in Lamentations chapter 5, verse 15. The joy of our hearts has ceased. Our dancing has been turned to mourning. The crown has fallen off our head. Woe to us, for we have sinned. For this our heart has become sick. For these things our eyes have grown dim. For Mount Zion, which lies desolate, jackals prowl over it. But you, O Lord, reign forever. Your throne endures to all generations. Let's pray together. Our Lord Jesus, we bow before you, having heard these words from a part of the Bible that we seldom contemplate and seldom look for guidance. We now come to you. We approach you because we call no one our teacher but you. We hope in no one like we hope in you. We trust no one like we trust you. And so we pray now that you will send your Holy Spirit to us and that he will fill every heart in this room, that we may know your truth and be set free to serve you and the Holy Father in heaven because of this truth. Amen. Thank you. Be seated, please. I don't know what your life is like, but I can tell you what mine is like. I've got lots of friends, but I don't live close to any of them. We've all gone in different directions. I mean, my dearest friends are off, thousands of miles away from me. Now, we get together every once in a while, and you know what happens when you get together with old friends, good, deep friends. You talk about the things that are significant to you. So we get together, we talk about things like what the kids are doing, or what next business venture they're going for, or what my next project is, what my dream is. And that's wonderful. It's a fun thing to do. And then you go your separate ways, and then you get back together again a few years later. Now, these dear friends don't understand. They haven't been with you all the time in intervening, so they bring up the old things you talked about 3 or 4 years ago. Well, how are the kids? How's that venture project? How's that mission in your life going? How's that ministry going? And you know what we have to do so very often is we have to admit to them, well, I tried it, but I got disappointed very quickly, and frankly, I've given up on it. Isn't that true? Now, if it just stopped there, it'd be okay. But you know what happens to you when you get in the car and you're driving home, you can't get it out of your mind. And you start asking the question, this used to be important to me. Was I right to give up on it? Or is there a way for me to go back to it? Is there a way for me to get into it again? Maybe this time it's time to do it in a way I've never done it before. And then, you know, you have to face the difficulty of changing your life. And who wants to do that? This kind of passage that we just read here from Lamentations chapter 5 is all about that kind of event. And in fact, this missions conference is about that kind of event. This is sort of like meeting your friends that you haven't met a long time ago. The friends are the missionaries here. The friends are the mission that we're talking about here. And many of you probably, if you've been followers of Christ, have had moments when you felt enthusiastic about this thing we call the mission. But as disappointments come, of course, it's very easy to lose heart for it. That's what had happened to the people who first heard this book. Do you remember the sorts of things they say in verse 15? The joy of our hearts has ceased. Our dancing has turned to mourning. The crown has fallen from our head. Woe to us, for we have sinned. God chose the people of Israel and gave them a mission. And it was a fabulous mission, mind-boggling. God said to their father Abraham, I'm going to bless every nation on this planet through you and your children. And of course, you know the story. Moses brought Israel out of Egypt into the promised land, and they finally had a king, and his name was David, and his son Solomon. And Psalm 72 celebrates what Solomon was going to do, what hope there was in this house of David, by saying that he would bless all the nations, and all the nations would bless him, and that because of his reign, the whole earth would be filled with the glory of God. Now, that sounds pretty good to me. I mean, who would not want to be that kind of person, that kind of group, that kind of nation, that you would usher in God filling the whole planet with his glory? But you know what happened? Something terrible happened between the times of David and Solomon and this passage we just read. Israel turned from her God, and the very people who were given that land were thrown out of it. The very palace where David's children reigned was destroyed. The very temple of God itself was destroyed. Jerusalem was in ruins. Jackals were prowling all over it. No wonder they were disappointed. Everything they had hoped for, everything they had dreamed of being, from all human points of view, had absolutely been destroyed. I have a friend who's a cotton farmer. He's now gone to be with the Lord, but I remember asking him one time, what's the most difficult thing about being a cotton farmer? What's the most discouraging thing? Because there are lots of things. And he looked at me and he said, I'll tell you what the most discouraging thing is. He said, it's when I have a good crop, it's moving on, it's growing, I can tell it's going to be the best thing that I've ever had my whole life, and then just before harvest, it starts to rain and it ruins the whole crop. He said, it's very hard for me to get going for the next year when that's happened. That's the way it was for Israel. They were moving forward. Good things were happening. Sure, there were ups and downs. Of course there were. There's always ups and downs. But at this point, when they're thrown into exile from the land, when everything has been destroyed, it's as if they're just on the verge of seeing what God had said to them, seeing this mission that they had been given. They were just about to see it happen, and then it all collapses in ruin and despair. And now they had to face a choice. Are we going to keep going, or are we going to give up? Well, Christians have also been put on a mission. We have taken up the mission that Israel had because Jesus came to this earth. He died for sinners. He resurrected from the dead and now reigns in heaven. This great son of David now rules over everything. And he's actually given you and me as his followers the privilege of joining him in turning this earth into the kingdom of God by sharing the good news of Jesus around the world. And as the New Testament tells us, it's because of Jesus that one day the whole earth will be filled with the glory of God. But do you know where we are right now? We're in one of those disappointing phases. We're in a phase of Christianity that has gotten a lot of us down to the point that we wonder whether the mission will ever be completed and whether it's even worth bothering with anymore. What am I talking about? I'm talking about the fact that as Christianity moved and swept through Europe and grew and burgeoned in the European states, and as it did the same in North America, especially when we get to the 19th and early 20th centuries, I want to tell you something. Enthusiasm for mission was huge. I mean, you can read the old hymns that they wrote. That Christ's great kingdom shall come to earth, the kingdom of love and life. They understood that. They believed it. And missionaries flowed out of Europe. Missionaries flowed out of North America to the ends of the earth, giving themselves, even giving their own lives for the sake of the mission, because it was going well. Sure, there were ups and downs. Yes, it was not perfect, but it was going well. Have you noticed it's not going so well here now? Anyone who watches television knows that's the case. Anyone who's read a book recently, read a newspaper, if you've gone to a movie, you know what's happened. You know that now Christianity is no longer looked upon as a respectable thing to believe in. It's mocked and laughed at in ways you could possibly could not have imagined even 50 years ago in this country. Today, secularism has, for all practical purposes, taken over. And secularism has made the ground of North America and Europe fertile for Islam. Have you not noticed it? Of course you have. And so you come to a meeting like this, and your pastors are talking to you about the mission of the church, and of course your heart goes, well, I'm just not really sure it's worth all that. After all, it's falling to pieces. If this is where you are, don't be surprised. Don't be surprised. But think about how Israel got into this position, and think about how we got into this position. Do you know what happened to them? They didn't decide one day, I tell you what we're going to do. We'll just get out of this mission. We'll just go away from God. No, that's not what they did. No, it wasn't anything like that at all. Actually, it was because of their success that they failed. It was because they reached the land. It was because they took the promised land. It was because they had a king and things were going well. Because you, do you know what happens when things go well for you? When you're prosperous, you begin to feel safe. Do you know what happens? You make an exchange. You trade off between the mission that God has given to you and me for other things. As soon as you believe that things are going well and things are moving forward, it's very easy for even sincere believers to back away, pull away, and just start paying attention to their own private lives because, after all, everything else is okay. You exchange the mission of the church for making sure that your career is going well. You exchange the mission of the church of your King Jesus for the sake of making sure that you hoard up savings so that you'll be sure that you'll be able to retire with the same amount of income you had during your working years. Anything except the mission, pleasure, dreams, travel, good things in life. Ah, that's what we want. In fact, I had dinner with a friend just recently, and she was talking about all of her friends, and she said, the only thing they ever talk about, their highest goal, their highest dream, is to be happy. And isn't that the way we've become? That happiness, personal prosperity, safety, and security has become our number one goal? That's the way it was in Israel. And sadly, that is what has happened to the Church of Jesus Christ in Western culture. And that's why we see today the decline, the fall, the corruption. And it's why we see no hope for the mission. A little truth-telling Let's go ahead and say it. So how in the world do you ever get any hope then? How dare those pastors of yours stand up here and say, look, we've got three cards. I got a card that says you'll commit to prayer. I got a card that says I'm going to give some money. In fact, he's going to give it back to you if the money's not big enough. He said it himself. Did you not hear him? And he says, I'm going to actually ask you, some of you, lots of you, to consider actually leaving everything you know that's familiar to you and going to the mission field. How dare your pastors ask you to do such a thing as that? I mean, who in the world is going to pray for a losing cause? I mean, don't you have other things to pray for that are more important that you think might actually succeed? Who in the world is going to think about giving money to a losing cause? Don't you have things to give your money to that you know are going to make it? Who in the world is going to give their lives, give up their retirement, give up their youth, give up their lives for the losing cause of the Christian gospel when life could be so good and so much fun if you just live it for yourself? How dare they ask us to do that? To take the mission seriously again? How are we supposed to do that? Verse 15 at the end of this section tells us how. Despite the fact that we can look around us and see that Jerusalem lies in ruins, listen to what the writer says. But you, O Lord, reign forever. Your throne endures to all generations. Let me tell you some really good news. The God of the Bible and his son Jesus reigns over everything. Do you know what that means? The decline in Christianity that we're facing in the West does not surprise him. He planned it that way. The movement of the good news of Jesus Christ throughout this continent, throughout North European continent, also through other parts of the world, he planned it all. He is the king and he rules over it all. Nothing has surprised him. Nothing has taken him. Nothing has shocked him. Nothing is outside of what his strategy has been from the very beginning. He reigns forever. His reign endures forever. And you can be sure of that. None of this has surprised him. And think about what else this passage says. That this reign of his is not just in your generation, not just in your life. Imagine that your generation isn't the most important thing that's ever walked on this planet. Can you imagine such a thing? No. It says his reign will go on from generation to generation to generation. These people were saying, despite what is happening, we have not lost hope because we know who is in charge. Our mission stands. Our goal stands. And we will succeed by the power of the living Christ because he is in charge. Do you believe that? Well, let me give you some good news. It is true that Christianity is shrinking in this country. It is true that secularism has made fertile ground for Islam in North America, just as it has in Europe. But let me give you some really good news. Here it is. The Church of Jesus Christ is growing by leaps and bounds in other parts of the world. Growing so fast that we cannot count them. It's unimaginable how many people are coming to Jesus in places like China and India, parts of Africa, even parts of Latin America. It would blow your mind to see the numbers that people estimate for this. And I can tell you this is no missionary story. I have been there. I have seen it. I know these people. It is the truth, and it is the proof that Jesus' kingdom is not failing. The mission keeps going. The mission moves forward, and the earth will be filled with the glory of God because of the gospel of Jesus Christ. He is in charge. So you have to begin to wonder, don't you? What's important? What priorities we should have? To what should we give our lives when the king who rules over everything, generation to generation, has determined that his people will carry out his mission. And that one day, this earth will become the kingdom of God himself. I can tell you what the priorities are. I can tell you what the top things are. It is for you and me to stop doing what brought us to the brink of destruction, of living for ourselves, our private, safe, comfortable lives, and to realize where that will take us, but even more, where it will take our children and our grandchildren and their children after them. And it is time for you and me to endorse the mission again. And to say, it's worth it, because our King reigns over all, and he will not fail. So as you contemplate this week, as you have many different meetings here this week, it's going to be like going to see your old friends. Because they're going to keep on bringing up this mission thing. And you might have been enthusiastic about it at one point in your life. You might have actually given some money. Maybe you even went on a short-term mission. Maybe you went on a long-term mission at one point in your life. And you know what they're going to keep on doing? They're going to keep on raising this issue. Well, how's it going? How's it going? And you're going to go home, and you're going to have a choice. Are you going to let it die in your life? Or are you going to renew your love and zeal for the mission that Jesus has given to you? There was a time when this church, placed on this hill in Chattanooga, was put here because this church was prominent in the life of Chattanooga. 100 years ago, this church was a centerpiece of this entire city. Do you realize that? Because the good news of Jesus was being preached here. Do you know why this church sits on this hill in Chattanooga, Tennessee now? Do you know why? Because it once was the center of influence in this community. It's time now for this church to decide that in this day and at this time, our God still reigns. We have not lost because he has not lost. And this church is going to set on this hill again because it is going to be the faithful witness to the good news of Jesus. And it is going to commit itself to the mission that Jesus has given to us. May God do that for you this week. Because if you will, you will see his reign with your very eyes. Let's pray together. Our Lord Jesus, we adore you. We thank you. It is true that things are not going well for us. It is true that this is because we have decided to live private lives rather than lives for you. But we want to change. We cannot do this apart from your Spirit, the Spirit who resurrected you from the dead, bringing life to us now. Would you now, by your Spirit, empower us here to take up the mission again in the confidence that our God reigns. Amen.
Thank you.
And now turn your face toward home and hear this good word. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord cause His face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. And may the Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace both now and in the life everlasting. And all God's people said, Amen. Good morning.